know this pretty much now. Can you all help us sing this?
Oh. Amen. As they were singing it all morning, the song that's been going on in my mind is God's not dead. How many know God's not dead? He's what? God's not dead. He is. Get alive. I can feel it in my hands. I can feel it in my feet. I can feel him all over me. Amen. If we didn't have such a short schedule, I would sing it. Life, health, and strength, amen. And Sister Simon, well, they both fighting MS and MS symptoms. But how many know God is a miracle-working God? I said, how many know God is a miracle-working God? So we bless the Lord. We just thank God. And because of the busy schedule, I'm going to ask you to stand at this time for our scripture reading, amen. So glad to be alive on this earth, amen. You know, it seems like every week, several times, a day in a week, get calls from people that are in need. Amen. Health is failing, financial needs all around, but thank God he's alive. And all power and authority is in his hand. And we thank God for that. We just thank God, hallelujah, that he's a God that looks beyond every fault that we have. People would point your faults out. But I thank God that when he looks at us, he looks beyond all of our faults. And he sees our needs. Amen. Others will count you out. Others will say you're not worthy. Others say you don't deserve it. But God said, I died for you. Amen. So there is no limit to what God has for us. Amen. The old song says there is no limit to what God can do. And there is no secret what God can do. If he's not in fathers, he will. All right, y'all know that song? There is no secret what God can do. What he's not fathers, he will do God. But you got to claim it. Amen. God doesn't bless you if you don't believe it. He that comes to God must believe. That means you must come with an expectation. Lord, what I ask, you're going to do it. Amen. So it might not seem like it's possible at the moment. But look at somebody and tell them, keep on believing. Come on, look at them. Tell them, keep on believing. All right, I guess I keep looking at the same people now. Somebody else. I'm very comfortable with those people. But tell them, you got to keep on believing. Because the devil is trying to make shipwreck of the people of God's faith. Shipwreck of faith means that they lose their complete confidence in God. And they focus more on the problem than the problem solver. Amen. We just bless the Lord. So we're going to ask you to turn to the 12th chapter of Luke. And we're going to read verses 15 through 21. Amen. We just thank God for what he's doing in the midst of our church. You know, one of the most important things we all need to realize is that God is sovereign. Amen. And because God is sovereign, God will do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, the way he wants to do it. Amen. We can cry, we can do all that, but God said, I'm sovereign. And in his sovereignty, God always does what is best for us. Amen. A lot of times we don't like it. Amen. And when we look at it, ocularly, it looks horrible. But when we look at it through the eyes of faith, amen, God can change the impossible to the possible. When we look at it through the eyes of faith, the Bible said, God calleth those things that be not as though they were. How? Through faith. Through faith, we understand that the world were framed by the words of God. So that the things which are seen are not made out of things which do. So you don't have to see it, you just have to. Come on, you don't have to see it, you just got to. Amen. And then when God sees you believe it, God will manifest that situation. Hallelujah. God will change it. Why? Because you believe. The writer said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Amen. A lot of times we believe, but we won't speak it. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, amen. But Let's read this quickly so you all can be seated. Verse 15 reads, "And he said unto them, Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The sound ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich." Lord, we thank you this afternoon. Lord, we thank you that we have the freedom and the liberty to serve you in the land of the free. Lord, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, that you called us by name. Lord, we thank you this afternoon that we have a mind to assemble ourselves together in thy presence. Now, Lord, as we stand as a congregation, Lord, as we stand in needs that only you know, we ask you to send the word. Lord, send the word to heal. Lord, send the word to deliver. Lord, send the word to set free. Lord, send the word to break stony hearts. Lord, send the word to touch unbelieving minds. Lord, we ask you today to speak for thy servant here. Now, all these blessings and favors we're going to claim, can the church say in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Jesus starts off by telling them something that we probably need to just put across the airways and the new way news line today. That a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. Amen. I was reading Psalm 49. Read that in your spare time. You know, I read Psalm 49, but it was, in particular, it talked about how riches cannot redeem you, how wealth cannot deliver you. It talks about how you can have all of that and you won't do anything for you. And it ends by saying the same way you came into this world, it's the same way we go out. Well, Jesus says, take heed and beware of covetousness. That's greed, the desire to have more and more. Amen? And he talks about this certain man that was rich and that was blessed. And verse 17 says, and he thought within himself. Hallelujah. The Bible says, blessed is the man. Amen. So blessed is the man that meditates on his law. Amen. Not himself, but the focus should be on God. Amen. We said he thought within himself. And the Bible says, in a multitude of counsel, there is safety. But this man didn't seek the mind of God. He didn't seek counsel. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Then he said, this will I do. I heard Jesus say, without me, you can do somewhere in here. I like to hope that he would have inserted the Lord. So I wonder today, as we live our lives daily, how much have we purpose that we're going to do, and how much are we going to have we purpose that we will do through God? I wonder today, amen, in our planning and our aspirations and inspirations, how many of us are planning and aspiring with God? Or how many of us are doing it outside of God? Well, this man will do this. I will build greater, and there will I restore all of my fruits and my good. And I will say to my soul. Now he's not making provisions for his soul. All he's doing is making provision to get more. I wanted this afternoon, as we sit here, how many of us are focusing more on what we can get than our souls? Amen. And even as I was preparing, I didn't give you this topic of the message yet, but it's coming. Amen. As I was preparing, you know, I guess years ago, I used to be a little smarter than I am today. So it's a whole lot of stuff I learned that I forgot through the years. Anybody like that? Learn a lot of stuff, but you forgot it through the years? Right? Then all of a sudden, you have one of those memories, one of those things come back. And as I was preparing, I said, the Lord put on my mind about a bourgeoisie mindset. Yeah, y'all like that one. What in the world was a bourgeoisie mindset? Should I tell you or should I make them look it up? I think y'all smell it. I said this when I was younger. I wasn't always 20. I used to be in my teens. A bourgeoisie is a B-O-U-R-G-O-I-S-I-E. Bourgeoisie. Y'all got it? No. Want me to spell it again? Yes. For those, a bourgeoisie mindset is a mindset that wants to just get. More. Amen. A bourgeoisie mindset, and actually, as I did do a little research, it talks about how people that started off, especially in marriage, so in love and so determined. Now, this ain't for you, Tanner Richard, so I don't think y'all talking all right. Thank God we had the wedding shower yesterday. Amen. But we're talking about, this is the example that this gentleman gave, because he was a divorce lawyer. And he said he noticed through all of the divorces, they all started off great. Everything was fine. He was in love with her, and she was in love with him. Amen. And their whole life centered around one another. But then when they desired to have more, in getting more, they began to lose one another. Y'all with me? Bourgeoisie is you want to get to the middle class. You want the houses, the homes, and the job, and the children. But then all of that you get, and you lose what you had. So our message today is you got what you wanted, but you lost what you had. You got what you wanted, but you lost what you had. This rich man had wealth. He had riches. He had abundance, and God blessed him with more and more. And he said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy needs, eat, drink, and be merry. But in all of his planning and preparation, he left God out. Hallelujah. I know I wanted this afternoon, how many of us are making plans, but we've left God out? Jesus said, without me you can do. I heard the scripture say, they that know their God. Anybody know God? Don't give God a wave off. Say, they that know their God shall be sure, and that they shall do exploits. Hallelujah. So when you know God, and God knows you, I'm not talking about just in a extemporaneous outside way, but I'm talking about when you got a real relationship with God. A real relationship with God is, I won't treat nobody wrong no matter what they do to me, because God has been good to me. When you got a real relationship with God, you stop before you answer. Amen. When you got a real relationship with God, you sit down and be Before you ask the Lord, now, Lord, what do you want me to say? Lord, how do you want me to respond? Amen. How many have been reading the Proverbs? Y'all been reading the Proverbs? One chapter? Every day. I'm going to give you a little something to help y'all out, right? Proverbs has how many chapters in it?
31,
right? Now, we read one chapter of Proverbs. This is just a side note for you. You know, anybody want to have more scriptures in your mind? How can you meditate on God's law day and night if you don't read it, right? So, look, I'm going to show you how you can be real fast, learn 100 or 1,000 scriptures. Y'all with me? Even if you got a bad memory, supposedly. Right? So we read one chapter every day. Right? So if we're reading one chapter every day, then please put me to the test. Try this, right? So if I read chapter 1 today, from chapter 1 today, all I want to learn is verses 1 through 5 today of chapter 1. Then I'm going to learn 1 through 5 tomorrow.
Seek
those things which are. How many has God raised from the dead bed of sin and given you a fresh start? Give God a wave offering. If God has raised you up, hallelujah, from a state of sin and given you a fresh start, hallelujah, then we should be seeking those things which are above. The scripture says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, for ye are dead and your life. Amen. You can't continue to be you. In trying to be like Christ, we have to mortify the deeds of our bodies. Now, I've heard it said many times, my life was going along smooth till I got saved. Right? Anybody ever heard that? Mm-hmm. Then I got saved and everything seemed like it fell apart. I thought when I got saved, things should have got better. But somehow they got worse. I thought my marriage was going to get better, but it got worse. I thought my job situation would get better, but it got worse. Well, the devil is still the devil. Amen. And the flesh is still the flesh. I don't want to go too fast. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 for a minute. Can we read this together? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to explain to you why things didn't get better, but they got worse. Galatians 5:16 read, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, every one of us was born, we were born with an Adamic nature, meaning that when we were born, sin was in our body. I don't care who you are. I don't care what family. I don't care if you grew up in your father, your grandfather, and everybody did your whole lineage with bishop. You still were a sinner. I don't care what your mother and father preached and did all that. You individually still were a sinner. Because when we were born into sin. Amen. Just like a baby. Anybody ever work with babies a little bit? And the baby did something wrong, you say, hey, did you do that? He said, no, I didn't do that. Seriously, yeah, everybody with a baby was like, well, if you say, you did do that, they will insist they didn't do it. Did you have to teach that baby to lie? Because it was in? It's in the flesh. Well, just like that baby, you don't have to teach them to lie because of the sinful nature. You don't have to teach us to sin because it's in the flesh. So he said, if you walk in the Spirit, then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the... Well, before you got saved, it was all about the flesh. Before you got saved, the flesh just did what it wanted to do, and you didn't have no repercussions because there was no consciousness to do the right thing. But then you get saved, and then there's a war going on. Yes. Well, I got saved, and it got worse. Yes, because the flesh did not like the idea of giving up that authority. The flesh did not like the idea of taking a back seat to the Spirit. So then the flesh begins to fight harder. Amen. Why? Because they are contrary the one to the other. The Spirit. The one that you feed the most. So yes, there's a fight. So, I don't even understand. Before I got saved, I had all these thoughts. I was a sinner too. I don't think I was always a saint. Right? So I was a sinner too. So when you get saved, all of a sudden, all this stuff from way back started. Where did that come from? The flesh is still trying to hold on. The flesh is resurrecting itself. It's a of life. But the old life don't want to let go. So you purpose, I'm going to do the right thing, and all of nowhere, all of these ungodly folks are going through your mind. Well, what's the problem? The flesh is trying to hold on. And God is trying to deliver you. God is trying to lead you in a way. So he said, if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, they're contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Yeah, I want to do this, but is that the flesh? Is that the... you ever told you? I want to do that, but is that the flesh or the... The next verse said, but if you be led by the Spirit. If you allow God's Spirit to lead you, yes, there is going to be a battle. Amen. Amen. You know what? It's going to be a worse battle if you get saved and go back out in the world. It's going to be worse. Why? Because the Bible says, when that, all those spirits, all those influences that you had before you got saved, when you go back, all those bad things bring with them seven bad things worse than they were before. So he said, I'm so confused in salvation. I just don't understand. I talk to people all the time. I don't understand. I thought it would get better. Yeah, there's a war going on. Your flesh is fighting to take you to hell, and the spirit is fighting to take you to hell. But the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. But he said, we need to stand still. Hallelujah. We need to stop allowing our flesh to dominate and govern us. But we need to say yes to the Lord. We need to say yes to his will. We need to say, flesh, you got to take a back seat to the spirit. Hallelujah. Every time that flesh raises over head, say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You got to learn to speak to your situation. You got to learn to fight. Hallelujah. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day.
He did not go out, and as he stayed back, as he got out the hook over
he spotted Bathsheba, who was another man's wife, and he inquired who she was, and they said, this is the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And David, because, hallelujah, he didn't stay in the spirit, he allowed his flesh to dominate. He didn't mortify the deeds of his flesh. David desired to have another man's wife. So not only did he desire to have her, but he had her and then had the husband killed. Amen. So then that brings us up to chapter 12. Chapter 12 is Nathan, the prophet, goes and talks with David. And David got what he wanted. He got Bathsheba. He got her husband killed. But let's see what happened to David in the process of time. Verse 7 of the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel reads, and Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anoint thee king over Israel, and I deliver thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wife into thy bosom, and I gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And that that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such a thing. God said, I gave you all that, and all you had to do was ask. And I would have given you even more. But David allowed his flesh. He allowed the dictates of his flesh to have a greater influence on him than God and his word. Was David a man after God's own heart? Yes. But he failed in that he did not mortify the deeds of his flesh. He did not put those deeds to sleep, to death, so they had their way. The scripture says in verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil? The prophet is speaking to the man of God that they made after God's own heart. Hallelujah. What was the problem? The appetites of the flesh were still alive in David. And David did just like the rich man. He took his ease. He was not watching. He stopped praying. He stopped being vigilant. He stopped being alert. And it happened to any of us if we do the same thing. You stop praying. You stop being vigilant. You stop giving heed to the word of God. And the flesh will begin to dominate. The Bible says that if we're in the flesh, we cannot please God, because the flesh is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So David got in the flesh, and the flesh began to die. Hallelujah. So the scripture says, wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Hallelujah. If you're doing the wrong thing, then it's time to do the right thing. Hallelujah. Because if you're doing evil in the sight of God, that means that you're not being governed by the Spirit, but we're being governed by the flesh. If you allow your mouth to just flow out of all kind of stuff, and if it's not of God, that is not the Spirit, but that is the flesh. So he said, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Amnon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart out of thine. So David got what he wanted. But we're going to find out that David began to lose some stuff. Why? Because he did not keep God first. He allowed his flesh to dominate. He allowed his flesh to lead. And as the flesh is leading, instead of gaining, he was losing. It appeared that he had more, but he was losing. And I don't have time to go through it, but in the first case, he lost his son Amnon because Absalom slew him because of his own wickedness. And you can read about that in all. So then after he loses Amnon, and then the king loses Absalom because Absalom flees from him. So he said, the sword will not depart out of thine house, because thou hast. You got to keep God first. Don't let anything else take the preeminence. And has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil The Bible says, whosoever confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. For Proverbs 28:13 says, if you try to cover your sin, you will not be blessed. Whosoever covereth his sin, God said, you won't be blessed. So David is in a situation where the man of God is exposing his wrong. The man of God is exposing that you've done the wrong thing. So thank God David had a right mind. He said, I have sinned. Hallelujah. When you know you're God, then don't try to justify it. Just say, Lord, I am wrong. Don't try to try to get people on your side. Say, well, I feel sorry for you. It's between you and God. I don't care if you do it secretly. God still knows all about it. Amen? So David said, Lord, I've sinned. Because you did not try to hide it. Because you didn't try to sugarcoat it. You just said simply, I have sinned. Hallelujah. And David goes on. Let's go down to 2 Samuel 15 and verse 6. So he told me, now, the evil is going to come where? Out of your own house. Because you satisfied yourself. But you dishonored God. If you read about it, I believe it's in 1 Samuel chapter 3. God is dealing with Eli, the man of God, the priest. He was over everyone. But Eli had an issue. He knew that his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were doing wrong. Hallelujah. And instead of Eli standing on the Lord's side, he permitted his sons to do the wrong thing. He spoke to them, but he didn't speak to them in a manner of correction. Because if he spoke to them in a manner of correction, he should have taken them down for being in the office of the priest. But he said, what thou art doing, my sons, is not right. So God said, when he speaks to Samuel, he said, I will not cast evil on the house of Eli. Why? Because he said, they that lightly esteem me, God said, I will lightly esteem. But they that honor me, God said, I will honor them. So I wonder today in our quest to be right, are we honoring the Lord or are we honoring another individual more than God? Are we honoring God and keeping him first or are we honoring another? God said, I will honor those that honor me. Hallelujah. But if you lightly esteem me, God said, I will lightly esteem you. Hallelujah. So what is having the preeminence in your life? What is controlling your life? Eli loved his son more than God. And you can read about it. That's when they talk about his grandson was born, and they call him Ichabod because the glory of the Lord had departed. I don't want an Ichabod in my life. I don't want God's glory to depart out of my life. I want to keep God first. But 2 Samuel and the 15th chapter reads, and on 50 chapter 6 verse 3, and on this matter did Absalom unto all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men. And eventually he supplanted David as king. Let's just get down to verse 30 for the sake of time. And David, because his own son had abdicated him from the throne and tried to kill him, David is now fleeing. What happened? David got what he wanted. But the most cherished thing of all was the kingship. He what? Lost it. Well, how did he leave it? Losing it, he said, because God said, you did not honor my commandments. You did not honor my word. So yes, you're getting everything that's gratifying the flesh, but you're losing the most important thing, your soul. Amen. Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Is there anything worth the cost for us to lose our soul? Amen. Verse 30 says, and David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went up, and his head was covered, and he went up barefooted. So David, as a king now, So when he's going crying and his head covered and bare feet, he was a king. But when he was leaving, he went like a prisoner or a lowly slave. Hallelujah, because he got what he lost. How did he go from being king to being a slave? Because he was gratifying the flesh and he was neglecting his God. I like the psalmist said, the Lord is my light and my God has to be your light and your salvation. He said, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, when the wicked, even my enemies, came upon me, yes, they are coming. But they stumbled and fell. Why? Because the Lord was with me. I didn't succumb.
Somebody can act just as ugly as they want to act.
don't see you, I see God. People are going to rub my name down and talk about me. And as I say, I thank you, Lord, that you count me worthy to suffer for your name's sake. The Bible talks about we're blessed if we're not buffeted for sin. But if we're buffeted, we haven't done anything wrong, then we suffer as a Christian. The devil has got us all focusing on our horizontal relationships. And we're neglecting the number one relationship. Jesus saw the rich man, he said, you were rich in everything.